Welcome back to another episode of Student Body Right, the complete college football podcast. I'm your host, Nick Valenchek, better known as Nick from CWE on all of your favorite daily fantasy sites. And I'm here to talk college football. Taking a break. It's 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. Taking a break at the half point of the Kent State Arizona State game, which has actually just really been a slow, boring game. You know, there's no point lying. It's been pretty much awful. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about Saturday, and you know, it's going to be a little bit tough for me to do because from some perspective, I haven't necessarily like gotten all the way through Saturday. I've been having to try to put a bunch of work into a few days, but nonetheless, anyway, we're going to break it down. We've got first thing you have to know. I don't know how it's going to affect, but hurricanes in college football are a very real thing, and I'm not talking about the Miami variety. I'm talking about the hurricane that's brewing, that's already moved to the Florida State and Boise game. It could impact other games, so just be cautious of that as it exists. On Saturday, we definitely have a few interesting situations. First and foremost, Najee Harris and Brian Robinson look to be suspended for the first half of the Duke-Alabama game. That whole situation smells to me like it could be a situation where we really end up with just a very difficult fantasy situation. I'm tempted to just fade Alabama completely. Having likely four running backs is tough. You know, we knew there would probably be four. I don't know if they switch them and play the third and fourth string in the first two quarters. And also, Nick Saban has kind of walked back that it's going to be a full on. My cat is really yelling at me. Like, this thing's super pissed that I'm in the room right now. Nonetheless, Saban's kind of walked back that it would be a full half suspension. So just, you know, you can always take risks on guys in tournaments, but not in cash games. Just be smart. I know it's a good matchup, but you just don't have to do it. Yeah, so let's talk quarterback. I have Tua actually, as of right now, is my second highest scoring quarterback. But the problem is that he's so expensive that he needs to be first by like quite a bit. As it exists, Tommy Stevens comes in as my number one quarterback at the price. I think he's a really good option against a ULL team that, you know, should really struggle to be able to do anything against him. So I inevitably have to put some interest there. I think Matthew McKay, Matt Corral, really like Matt Corral. I think he's got upside. Terry Wilson at his price looks like he could be a pretty solid play. Even Mitchell Guadagni from Toledo, he's priced higher than I would like, so, and I probably won't end up getting there. I don't have too much difference between him and Terry Wilson. I want to be bullish on Terry Wilson. I just don't think this is going to be the right spot for it. So announcement was made that Michael Penix Jr. is going to start for Indiana. He's several thousand dollars cheaper than Peyton Ramsey would have been. I don't think he's a bad option. Pretty much the guys I am unequivocally going to stay away from are going to be like Jake Bentley, KJ Costello, Brady White, Hunter Johnson, Anthony Brown, Sam Howell, Drew Plitt. Those are going to be the guys that I just don't see myself having any kind of ownership on. Moving to the running back position, Patrick Taylor is a full 6 points ahead of the next highest projected running back, and shockingly, it's Asim Rose. that comes in at number two. I know there's been a lot to be made about how that's going to break down, how that backfield is going to break down. But I think he's going to be given the first opportunity. And with Kentucky running the ball so much, I think he's got a huge upside at 6,100. Projection set likes Kylan Hill, likes Stevie Scott, likes A.J. Dillon, likes Scotty Phillips, Ricky Person. And that sucks because it's just an or for NC State. I want to believe it's Ricky Person. If I start going down, though, few guys I'd be somewhat interested in. Caleb Huntley at 4,600 has some potential. Tavian Feaster is RB2 now at South Carolina against a UNC rush defense, which should be horrible as usable. Kylan Watkins looks like he's going to be the Memphis number two. So there's some meat on the bones there at that price. But my number one value running back is going to be Javonte Williams, UNC. South Carolina itself really wasn't a very good run defense, and Javonte Williams carried a lot of hype coming into last season, and we saw at points in a crowded backfield that he was still able to get the job done relatively well. So I want to keep taking some shots on him as the season starts, because if what I think happens, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to routinely be in the high six, low seven Ks. So that's kind of where I'm looking at the running back position. Wide receiver, Bama receivers for me are a fade on DraftKings. I think Jalen Waddle is a little bit cheap on FanDuel. You could take some shots there. You know, then there's just a variety of guys I think that have some big potential upside. DeMonte Cosi should see some kind of an I don't know if he'll see any more targets or anything like that, but one of those intangible things that I think is often ignored is just the fact that maybe his touchdown equity goes up a little bit with Daryl Henderson off the team. Like, I don't know that you can just automatically give Patrick Taylor 22 touchdowns and then move on. So there's a possibility, and this is a good matchup. Mississippi is pretty bad defensively. I think this game should shoot out. So he's going to be one of my top targets. Actually, behind him, the next highest target I have is Lynn Bawden from Kentucky, 6,500 on DraftKings. He's going to be the surefire number one for Terry Wilson. So I think there's a ton of upside there. There's a few teams I haven't got to stat out yet, like Ohio State, Stanford. I'll be getting to those tomorrow. You know, other notables here, Emeka Emezi from North Carolina State sets up pretty nicely. At 5,600, I think Riley Miller is probably going to be the guy I start my cash game builds with. I think that's a very, very favorable price on him. And, he's the guy I'd want to take there. C.J. Riley looks to be the number two at North Carolina State at 4,900. That's a very attractive price for someone that has a pretty good amount of upside in a high-scoring game. So those would be generally where I'd be looking. I mean, the one thing about the projections that I know is that you're always going to find situations where certain guys don't end up projecting out where you want them to. And that's pretty much how I feel about the Ole Miss wide receiver core. I think, you know, even though they don't, I've got Elijah Moore at 15.49. I've got Braylon Sanders at 14.31. Those prices, that's not really that good. Because when I do my projections, like, I don't play with this, like, okay, this quarterback statted out for 22.47 fantasy points. Because at the end of the day, if that's all your projection set is popping off, you're not doing a very, very good job with your projection set. I'm just going to be real with you. Jonathan Taylor should be 41 points. You should have a multitude of running backs projected at 30-some fantasy points because it happens every freaking weekend in college football. That's just how it goes. So to kind of, you know, play it safe with the projection set just doesn't make sense to me. So that's not how I do it. I'm very aggressive when I do my projection set. And, yeah, so that's what we're looking at there. Moving right along, we will go to the Saturday night slate. The Saturday night slate's interesting. On DraftKings, we've already lost a game with the Florida State-Boise State game moving, which, you know, does actually really suck because I expect, first of all, the biggest thing was that they had the Boise State running back situation mispriced, where I think Robert Mahone, whichever one's starting, I can't remember offhand. I think it's Mahone starting over Van Buren. Mahone's like 3,900. So cash game Lockie would have been not going to happen in this case. I do have to preface all this by saying I have not yet managed to get to the point where I've statted this slate out, but I'm still feel pretty comfortable being able to go through and give my takes. The first thing I noticed is a very expensive Sam Ellinger. 9,300 is it's a tough ask. That's a very, very, very tough ask for your starting quarterback in a situation where he's not really going to have to go out there and lay it all on the line. We saw this. We've seen this from him, and under 30 points isn't really going to get it done. You know, he's a guy who definitely needs to be putting up over 30 fantasy points at this price. I like Bryce Perkins. I think that's a fair fair price considering his upside. I know he's only $600 cheaper than Ellinger, but I think you're probably looking at more consistency at that price. Kelly Bryant, 7,900. You know, this Drew Lock put 400 yards up over this Wyoming team that's good defensively, but it's because they play a lot of really bad teams in the Mountain West. So I think there's opportunities there. Jake Fromm, he's just not someone I end up playing that often, if at all. And he's priced up too high, so he's a likely fade for me. Joe Burrow, he's another guy that could be pretty close to a fade to me. I just don't see them needing to use him. And at 7,500, I would just rather – I'm either going to try to find someone super cheap to punt with. And Shea Patterson could be that guy. I mean, they want to open up the offense more. Granted, again, it's not a matchup that's going to stay close. But what we're really hoping for and banking on here is that Shea Patterson can get some rushing yards, could potentially get some rushing touchdowns, and that the team looks a little bit different than it did last year. Bo Nix starting for Auburn. Both Bo Nix and Justin Herbert seem a little ridiculously cheap. And Herbert's another one of those guys where, you know, he's just not a splash a splash player. You don't see him putting up gigantic fantasy totals, but if this game were to stay close, I think there's a case to be made that you know, it could be worth taking some shots on him. You know, I wouldn't completely rule it out. Bo Nix, I think I'll take some shots just because I always like playing young guys that have upside. Sean Chambers is a really interesting one for me. He came into Wyoming last year and just murked Colorado State. He had three games in a row where he went over 100 rushing yards, and then he got hurt. This Missouri defense, even though it's from the SEC, it's still one of the lower-end ones. 5,400 for a quarterback, presuming he's a starting quarterback, because like I said, I haven't gotten all the way through statting these teams out. I just don't see the scenario where they decide it's not a better idea to play him than someone else. And Jamar Smith at 5,200, he's got upside too. You know, again, Texas, not the greatest defense, so I think there's a possibility there for him to find some ways to work, you know, and make some hay there. So in all likelihood, I'm probably going to either be going with Perkins or Bryant, or I'm going to try to drop down and go with Chambers, maybe Jamar Smith. I'm off anything happening at Vanderbilt. I just don't see that being the right situation to try to use a quarterback against Georgia, and I don't see a point in trying to use anyone from Middle Tennessee against Michigan, which should be one of the best offenses in defenses in football. Running back, you know, this is a great matchup for DeAndre Swift. We always want to think things like now he's going to have more of an opportunity because Elijah Holyfield's gone, but it's not. That's just not how Georgia works. He'll have competition. Price is up there. That's a decision you have to make. He is absolutely going to have to crush it against this team. And he went 7 for 50 last year and then 449 and a touchdown through the air. But he's definitely capable of putting up performances in the mid 30s. So he's someone you at least have to consider, I think, you know. Larry Roundtree is a guy I really like. If we're sitting here and saying, you know, we don't think that Wyoming is going to be able to hold up to this SEC offense, then Roundtree should be a guy that should be getting a lot of your attention. He does not have Demarie Crockett working with him this year, so there's a plus. So he's a guy, I think he's probably the first guy I'm looking at near the top. John Emery is not the starting running back for LSU. It's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Helaire's priced really nice. Even though that Georgia Southern is a tougher defense, I still think I would give I would side with the LSU running back, the name brand running back, if you will. Emery will get some shots. I just think it's a little bit early. Keonta Ingram, you know, we didn't really see Texas use him as much as they could have last year. And now, you know, this was a guy that was fun to play when he was like 49, 45, 58. At 7,700, we have to be pretty much damn well sure that he's going to be, you know, the number one running back and very infrequently coming off the field. There's just not many scenarios that exist, I think, where we can afford to have this these players in our lineups and at that price, and they're not seeing that much of the game. CJ Verdell and Travis Dye are expected to be in a timeshare, so that is always something that makes me a little bit concerned. It's not like it's a super good matchup either, so they're going to be deep tournament options only. Keyshawn Vaughn, many other weeks I would have interest, and this is a terrific price. I'm hoping that he gets 20 carries and rushes for 50 yards in this game, and he gets priced down to 6,300 the next time they play, because I'll play him then, but I don't think I have much interest against Georgia. Jartavius Withrow, you know, I think that that's still going to be a timeshare, and that hurts. You know, he's probably capped at about 18 carries. Matchup's good enough. You know, take some shots there. Michigan is just freaking, I don't know what to say. There's every year it's the same thing with Michigan. They've got several guys who could potentially be forces in the backfield, so it's very tough for me to pick one and try to die with them. One interesting player I would take at the value would be Xavien Valade, who looks like he's going to be the starting running back for Wyoming. Now, it is believed that at some point soon, Trey Smith, former Louisville player who transferred there, is more likely to see the field and you know, control the running back situation. I don't hate even taking some shots on him, because if, you know, things aren't going well with Valade, and you'll see all the time some of these quote unquote top tier smaller school running backs that are workhorses kind of get pulled and try to change things up to get their team woke. I think that could happen with Trey Smith. So he's someone I'm going to be punting with a lot. Moving on to the wide receiver situation, this sucks. This really does. I am not a buyer on LSU receivers. I guess if I'm going to take one, it's going to be Justin Jefferson, but by God, that price. I mean, I don't want to spend that much money. I don't want to spend $7,300 on Nico Collins, because Nico Collins could be the number three receiver for Michigan, and it could be Tariq Black and, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones that end up outscoring him. So for me, I guess it's really going to start with Colin Johnson here, priced way down, but with good reason, because he pretty much sucked last year with little Jordan Humphrey as the main focus of this team. You know, Jalen Knox, a good option from Mizzou. Adrian Hardy's a good option, priced up probably a little bit, but should see all the targets he can handle, which is always another thing I'm always trying to find, is targets. Maurice French, Devon Duvernay, Tariq Black. It really is a shit show, to be completely honest with you. Albert Okwuegbunam, who was injured and is coming back from that, you know, that price is probably good for him. Ty Lee, another PPR guy, I think, that should see a bunch of targets, whether he brings them in or not. It's another story. Taysier Mack seems a little bit cheap. I love Juwan Johnson as long as he's healthy. It says he is. That's a cheap price for him in that Oregon offense. I'm leaving all the Vanderbilt guys for another day. If I did play anyone, it's going to be Pickney just because of his price. And that pretty much wraps that up. If you like what you heard, visit us at studentbodyright.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at studentbodyright. You can check me out on Twitter at Nick from CWE. And we'll see you again next time.